Unfortunately, social media can especially influence people's beliefs. Our socials are constantly feeding us content that aligns with our existing views and limits exposure to alternative perspectives, which not only reinforces our confirmation bias, but also leads us to believe that the world is more polarized than it is. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our first Nerdcast episode. These are going to be short, like 20 to 30 minute podcasts that are more of a deep dive into a specific topic versus our longer podcasts where Christina and I have a conversation. A lot of these topics will lead into those conversations, but these are a little more educational-like, so we hope that you either learn something from it or find it entertaining or interesting at the very least. But let us know in the comments if you don't find value in these, then maybe we'll focus our attention elsewhere. So today we are talking belief reasoning and influence. So just to be clear, I figured we could start by defining these. Belief is trust, faith, or confidence in someone or something, or acceptance that a statement is true or that something exists. Of course, many people may hold on to beliefs that are false, illogical, or highly improbable, often defying common sense and evidence, essentially believing things that most people would consider absurd or outrageous. And we'll talk about those in a bit. Now, reasoning is the action of thinking about something in a logical, sensible way, which is in accordance with knowledge. Typically. Same as with belief, there can be faulty reasoning or sometimes referred to as logical fallacy, where you have the act of reasoning, but you're using inaccurate information as a basis for drawing conclusions, which can lead to mistaken outcomes, we'll say. And then there's influence. Influence is the capacity to have an effect on the character development or behavior of someone or something. If someone influences someone else, they can change a person or affect their behavior in an indirect but typically in an important way. So these can all lead to the phenomenon where a person's existing beliefs can significantly impact their reasoning process, often leading them to interpret information and draw conclusions that align with their pre-existing beliefs, even if evidence doesn't support it. Essentially, their beliefs are influencing how they evaluate information and make judgments, sometimes causing bias in their thinking. These biases can have an effect on our political viewpoints, our medical beliefs, social stereotypes, and all kinds of things that can have a profound effect on our lives, our health, and our relationships. But by recognizing these biases, we can take steps to mitigate their impact. So let's talk about a few of them. Cognitive bias, that's a general term for various mental shortcuts that can lead to inaccurate judgments or decisions, which we often do unconsciously. And these can be significantly amplified and reinforced through social influence, leading to biased decisions based on group norms or actions of others. I mean, let's be honest, people are susceptible to believing some strange-ass things, often due to cognitive biases like pattern recognition, seeing patterns where there aren't any, or just the desire for simple explanations, or negative bias, or confirmation bias, which is a really big one. So let's start with negative bias. That's where adverse events have a more significant impact on our psychological state than positive events. It's why you can always remember every detail of that shitty interaction you had with a 20-year-old kid at Best Buy, or exactly where you were on 9/11. But you have a hard time remembering your first trip abroad, or the day you got your first goal-fulfilling promotion at work. You know, one is obviously way more impactful and positive, but the negative one is more memorable. This can lead to despair and inaction, powerlessness and hopelessness. Significant progress can be and is being completely undone because often we fall victim to negative bias, and it would be extremely beneficial to find ways to change our thinking to just be more positive. I know that sounds cliche, and maybe I'm oversimplifying that, but it can very well help. Now, the other big one is confirmation bias, or it's at least a very common one. I'll say. Whether you realize it or not, we all likely do this quite often. This is where individuals actively look for information that supports their pre-existing beliefs or disregards contradicting evidence. So we've talked belief, reasoning, and now let's talk influence. Social influences is how our beliefs can be influenced by the people around us, including family, friends, our group communities, even if those beliefs are considered outlandish. And then there's the emotional need for biases. Sometimes people cling to unusual beliefs because they provide comfort, a way to explain complex situations, or they tend to provide more of a sense of control. Unfortunately, social media can especially influence people's beliefs. Our socials are constantly feeding us content that aligns with our existing views and limits exposure to alternative perspectives, which not only reinforces our confirmation bias, but also leads us to believe that the world is more polarized than it is. It seems as if everyone has the same ideas and beliefs as you because that's all you see. Developing media literacy and critical thinking skills can help us assess the credibility and validity of information sources, and the need to develop these skills has become more critical than ever, and yet has also become more of a challenge to do than ever. It's increasingly difficult to spot flaws and inconsistencies or contrasting evidence, especially with social media algorithms, AI, and misinformation, which can spread rapidly and on multiple platforms. You know, we've got bots, trolls, forums, message boards, even word of mouth can spread information and propaganda, which can have a very dangerous ramification for us in our world, like mass manipulation of public opinion, increase in radicalized, extremist, or even violent ideology and behavior, targeting specific groups, places, or organizations. Like I mentioned, the polarization of society and the segregation within society, and the mainstream of junk science, which is presented as science fact without research or evidence. Some junk science has virtually no supporting evidence, while some is more of an oversimplification of real but complex science. So like flat earth theory comes to mind. Social media breeds a commonality that contributes to conspiracy theories by acting as an echo chamber for these ideas and beliefs. Social media also enables persistent access to content that feeds misconstrued beliefs, making us even more confident in these theories. People feel like they're investigators or truth seekers and scour the internet searching for information that really only confirms their pre-existing beliefs. Again, we're only favoring information that confirms or strengthens our beliefs or values, and it's difficult to dislodge from them. Once we believe they've been confirmed, and they intensify when we're surrounded by others who share the same views. However, as I said, there are ways to mitigate the impact of biases and social influence. Critical thinking, for example, which is actively evaluating information and considering alternative perspectives, having diverse viewpoints, or like an open-mindedness, which is basically exposing yourself to a range of opinions to avoid echo chambers, and awareness and independent thought, being aware of social pressure and making decisions based on personal analysis rather than just confirming. So let's talk a little more about conspiracy thinking. Many factors are known to contribute to conspiracy thinking, like stress, wanting to feel in control or to make sense of a highly complex world, having a sense of purpose or belonging to an in-group or fellow believers, maybe, which we discussed quite a bit in our first episode, a lack of analytical or critical thinking, and relying on like just your gut feeling also contributes heavily. And less education is certainly a factor, but higher education on its own does not shield people from conspiracy thinking. Mistrust of authorities and experts is obviously another big factor, often going far beyond what we might consider healthy criticism. Somewhat included in this is our new mistrust in mass media, which we'll talk about in a bit. Another factor is kind of the opposite, a misplaced or unquestioning trust in self-serving leaders or less credible experts. So let's talk about deception and disinformation. So misinformation is unintentionally spread. while disinformation is intentionally misleading and spread. So deception involves two things. First, that you're creating a false belief in someone else, getting them to believe something you know is not true. And second is that you have to intend to do that. So personally, when I think about disinformation or false claims, I wonder if we should even be like spending time debunking these, or are the batshit crazy things like Democrats control the weather or the earth is flat intentional? And are they just meant to distract us? Facts definitely matter, and lies have consequences for sure. But if we spend our time trying to prove all of the ridiculous shit being spread as false, then we're still losing because we're distracted trying to debunk crazy shit rather than do, I don't know, anything else. And the media has lost all credibility. It's either lost all credibility or is wasting our time with information or misinformation that we can't do anything with. During Trump's last term, it's reported that he made over 500 false statements in his first 200 days in office. That's like 2.5 a day. And in turn, that made a lot of news outlets become like fact checkers. And it was all for nothing, just a waste of a news outlet that could have reached people in other ways. Journalism used to have an important role in holding elected officials accountable to the American people, but that seems to be gone now because no one trusts them anymore. However, oddly enough, Fox doesn't seem to fall prey to the same fate or distrust within its group. They had to pay almost $1 billion for spreading false claims, and yet people still tune in to view their reports where they mainly just add to mistrust of outside groups. The reputation of a media outlet should be destroyed when things like this happen, and yet the opposite happens. You make wild and false claims, you drive up ratings, you get more airtime, you get more viewers, you make more money. Don't get me wrong, it's not just Fox, it's the majority of mainstream media and mass news media outlets, at least the three major cable news outlets and the three legacy print publications. So it makes you wonder, like, how much do we really care about lying? How much do you care about lying, especially when it comes to politics? 60% of voters believe that Donald Trump is a liar. But he didn't lose by 60%, meaning it doesn't matter if he's a liar. The majority of Americans believe that all politicians are liars anyway, right? So eventually, it may become more about the level of lying versus just lying. I don't know. All humans lie to some extent or another, and trust tends to be our default. We tend to believe and trust people unless or until we have a reason not to. You really have to use your best judgment and critical thinking to identify deception. And honestly, lying has always been a part of our politics. Hannah Arendt said, "Totalitarianism at its essence is an attempt at transforming reality into fiction." All the totalitarian regimes of the 20th century rose to power amongst a string of lies, generally fueled by fear, but people don't believe that they're being lied to by people that are part of their in-groups or their communities. We talked about this extensively in our first episode. If we believe ourselves to be good, we are therefore in a good group, and the good group would not be lying to us. By that reasoning, the other group is bad and they're the ones lying. So we really need to diversify our thinking and consider alternative ways of thinking. Use our critical thinking skills and look for clear signs of deception. P.S. I found this linguistic pattern of deception called the pronoun drop to be pretty interesting. It's where people will drop their pronoun when they're lying to psychologically distance themselves from deceptive language. So if you ask me a question and I'm answering it truthfully about myself, I may say I or me. And then if you ask me a question where I intend to lie, I may drop my pronoun and not say I or me and just the rest of the sentence. So if you ask me, what did I do last night? And I say, went to the movies and to bed early, nothing much. Instead of like, I went to the movies and then I went to bed early. I might be lying. Maybe I didn't go to a movie. Into bed. All right, so let's talk about conspiracy theories a little bit. Now, I don't think that we should really even get into like MAGA and the cult-like following idea of MAGA, because One, I'm not sure that we can even break through that within just this one podcast. And for me, I feel like that's sort of an extreme group. Most of them are very far right, not just conservative or Republican or right leaning. It's more of an extremist. And I would say for the most part, we can logically weed those out a little easier than just folks that may lean a little more right or a little more left when they're lying or when they want us to believe something. Let's just focus more on the reasoning of disbelief and how it can influence us. One really good example of our recent time is QAnon. QAnon is an online far-right American political conspiracy theory that centers on fabricated claims made by an anonymous individual or individuals known as Q, who relay these fabricated claims. The theory is basically that the world is run by a cabal of global elites and high government officials that do nefarious things, and a lot of it's rooted in a really old existing conspiracy theory. In particular, anti-Semitic conspiracy theories, some of which helped Hitler rise to power. It's as if they've just been dusted off and re-released as QAnon, the anti-Semitic reboot, if you will, that believes powerful liberal elites are pedophile or Satan worshippers or eat children. While Q has a number of conspiracy theories and scams, I think the biggest may have been Pizzagate. The Pizzagate theory began in March 2016 with the leak of a personal Gmail account of John Podesta, a former White House chief of staff and chair of Hillary Clinton's in 2016, or part of her political campaign. And promoters of the theory believed his emails contained a secret code detailing child sexual abuse, which led to an armed attack on a pizza establishment by a gunman who believed the conspiracy theory. There was also one where the online retailer Wayfair was using their site for child trafficking. A tweet was posted pointing out that there were extremely high-priced cabinets, all listed with girls' names, promoting followers to allege that the piece of furniture actually had a child hidden in them as part of a supposed child trafficking ring. According to QAnon, Donald Trump was appointed to bring about this, quote, great awakening, which will eventually bring about a far-right authoritarian regime that Trump will lead. Followers also believe that the Trump administration secretly fights the cabal of pedophiles and eventually will conduct arrests and executions of thousands of cabal members on a day known as the Storm or the Event. These theories were initially spread through 4chan and then 8chan, but also really spread through mainstream social media, where regular folks would see an incredibly cryptic post called a dropper drops and be like, what the heck is this shit about? They'd go looking for information to try to find out and would essentially fall down this rabbit hole and become a QAnon believer. And the more it spread through social media, the more these cryptic posts were deciphered, the more legitimized it became. It originated in 2017, but the pandemic really heightened the QAnon effect. You might have seen the hashtag WWG1, WGA, which is where we go one, we go all. It's a popular slogan of QAnon believers. After increased scrutiny of the movement, social media platforms such as Twitter, now X, and Facebook began taking action to stop the spread of the QAnon conspiracy theory. So, what makes us hold on to these false beliefs? If people believe in something false and are presented with the truth, well, they don't typically go, oh, my bad, I must be wrong. Their misconceptions don't go away, and it's hard for people to even say, I was wrong. Having an accurate belief on one hand and having your sense of self called into question on the other, people will maybe unintentionally, but they will maybe try to preserve their own positive image. Because remember, we're motivated to achieve a positive image of ourselves and our in-groups, and we do that by comparing our in-groups favorably against our out-groups. When the opposite happens, we either have to do whatever we can to improve it or disassociate from it. So it becomes much easier to just believe the lie or pretend it doesn't matter. And ultimately, our brains find it easier to hold on to bullshit than onto fact. Another thing I think leads folks to believe lies or disinformation is that we've stopped educating ourselves or analyzing what we hear, what we read, what we see. So here's a little test. Let's say I have an apple and an orange. Together, they cost $1.10. The apple costs a dollar more than the orange. How much does the orange cost? Most people hear this simple math question, and if I tell you the answer is the orange costs 10 cents, a lot of people hear it and go, okay, that sounds right. But we should really analyze it and say, I think it's 10 cents, but let me check my math. Well, if the orange costs 10 cents and the apple's a dollar more than the orange, then the apple would be $1.10. Together, they'd be $1.20. So that's not the answer. Let me reduce each by 5 cents. Okay, if the orange was 5 cents and the apple was a dollar more, then the apple would be $1.05 and together they'd be $1.10. So the answer is actually that the orange costs 5 cents. Oh my gosh, that was so difficult to keep together. Hopefully it makes sense. But the question this asks is whether or not people check themselves first, or do they just hear it and go, that sounds right. I'll go with that. The ones that just trust their intuition and go with it are more susceptible to falling into the funnel of misbelief or disinformation than the ones that question themselves. So remember, there's a lot of information out there nowadays, and it's so easy to go on social media, keep yourself in the funnel that you're in, reaffirming the things that you may already believe. But especially in this environment and this political climate, with everything that's going on in our country, we really need to start questioning things. We need to use our critical thinking skills and start analyzing. One thing that I do is when people tell me something and I'm not sure if they're being completely truthful, I'll ask if they have anything to gain from what they're telling me. And if they do have something to gain, then I kind of take it with a grain of salt and I definitely do more research. If they don't have anything to gain, then I personally will probably still do more research, but I'm less likely to think that they're trying to deceive me for some reason. I think that people typically, hopefully, need a reason to deceive someone else. They're just doing it for shits and giggles. Well, then I guess we're all in big trouble. But anyway, that's all I got for you guys today. If you like what you've heard, please leave us a review. Wherever you're listening to this podcast, feel free to let us know what you liked, what you didn't, or what you'd like to hear about later. Love for you to hang out with at least me, sometimes Christina, every week. Our next episode will be covering the economy and inflation. I know it sounds super boring, but it's something that's often confused and sometimes not very well understood. So we'll talk about it, where we're at today, how we got here, and whether or not presidents can actually affect our economy. So next week, see you guys. Let's stay connected.